Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Well, welcome back to another week where we cast judgment of the members of our congregation who've come forward and confessed their sins all for a smart speaker, which makes you sound a little bit cheap. I apologise for that. I didn't mean that. We welcome everything being sent in. Anyway, it's your Confessions podcast brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. For example, Sister Susie is back from her two-week sabbatical, refreshed, rejuvenated and ill in the pub.
Yeah, I've got a cold.
Don't have kids. That's basically the problem. And don't have kids at festivals, more to the point.
No. Yeah.
Well, I think we were fine until he went back to nursery after the festival.
Don't and send then... your kids to nursery.
Nursery
or
festivals.
School of any kind.
Yes.
Brother Matt, as you can tell, is still in the gutter.
Correct.
Where we left him.
Yep.
Also, you should know Sister Holly is actually in the tack cupboard at the moment, but he's just overseeing things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's all she's allowed to say. Coming up, Matt's very clear on what he wants the England team to do if they lose at the weekend.
Make them walk. Make them walk all the way. And make them walk all the way home.
You've been quoted out of context.
I think I have somewhat there, haven't I?
I think.
Yeah.
By the time you hear this... I suppose there's like the Friday, then there's the Saturday, and then if you listen to it on the Sunday, then...
Yeah, there's a chance.
But you might be listening to it on Monday, in which case you'll know.
You will know.
Anyway, we're going to the pub for our confession from the crypt. We take a trip to the parish notice board. We go through all the shameful confessions that we simply can't use on Tea Time Radio, and of course all the confessions from the Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, broadcast 4 till 7, Monday to Friday, including Steve's cruise catastrophe... In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. That's the title is too long.
It is too long.
Pixie's summer camp, walk of shame. You've got more rabbit than Sainsbury's. Davy's confession, you had one job. You have to say it with that kind of tone. First, though, Brian's health and safety nightmare. Danger, danger.
High voltage.
Thank you, Michael Howard.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Father Simon and the Predictable Collective. Thanks very much.
Very happy to do that,
This confession dates back to 1984. I was young, the world was always sunny, and I felt, as all young people do, utterly invincible. How times change. Can I say, there's a lot of dangerous activity that happens in the course of this confession.
Okay.
None of it should be followed or copied.
Understood.
Therefore, let's give it a 15 certificate.
Wow, 15? Wow.
Anyway, says Brian, I'd found work as a roadie for a former chart-topping band that had fallen on slightly harder times. We were playing summer seasons at holiday camps on the East Coast. Lots and lots of fun with the ladies, I can tell you.
Okay.
Oh.
We played working men's clubs, Batley Variety Club, then known as the Frontier, places like that. On this occasion, Father Simon, we were booked at a village hall somewhere in Yorkshire, and we were to go on first and warm the audience up for the actual star turn, Kenny Ball and his jazz men. Different times. We arrived early, set up the equipment, sound checked, wired in the lights, and as the summer evening fell, we went on and did our set, ending on our sole number one hit. And that was it. As Kenny's road crew and us swapped the stage around, we threw everything in the back of our truck in the hope of getting away quickly. Except, and can I say here, I'm sending this confession to warn others, the consequences of dodgy practice, health and safety is there for a reason. Yes, sirree, so take note.
Yeah.
Rewind to the part where I mentioned wiring in our lights. Now, Father Simon, here's where it gets tricky. Our lights required what's known in the biz as a three-phase supply, essentially giving a whole heap more than your home plug sockets. Usually this is via a big blue plug that anyone who's been backstage ever would recognise. But, Father Simon, The band wouldn't pay for the plugs, and so I was required to attach the cables directly into the box. Don't do that.
What?
One to each of the supply bars. Don't do that.
What?
In the afternoon, yeah, this was safe and easy. Switch off the box, open it up, a big 12-inch screwdriver to tighten the bare wires in, and that was it. Job done. As I said,
just don't do any
all
of this.
Oh, my goodness. Super dangerous.
No.
However, I couldn't switch the box off, as Kenny Ball was already striking up with the opening bars of one of his timeless classics. Midnight in Moscow, I think it was. Oh, there it is. Okay, all right. Well, Father Simon, I did what was required. I stood on a small stool, opened the box, and started loosening the screws. One and two came out easily. Number three, however, was tough. As I gave it a mighty heave, I slipped and the screwdriver shorted out across the supply bars. A mighty bang and a flash threw me off the stool, temporarily blinding me, and the screwdriver was reduced to about 2 inches long in my shaking hand. It was then that I noticed Kenny Ball and his jazz men had gone very quiet. In fact, everything had gone very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Father Simon, it's here I must confess that my actions had not only silenced Kenny and his jazzmen, it left him on stage in a total blackout. I'd also blown out a local substation, and the village had been plunged into darkness.
Wow.
Too. So, Father Simon, I can't seek forgiveness from Mr. Ball because he's dead, but... But to all those people that I left with no Star Turn Entertainment, no Kenny Ball or his jazzmen, to apologise to the electricity board repair crew that must have been called in to fix my destruction. Also, the villagers who missed an evening's television of Surprise, Surprise, Robin of Sherwood and The Price is Right.
Oh, yes.
And whose frozen food I possibly ruined because the freezers are gone.
Oh.
I can only say sorry and live with confidence that Matt at least will forgive me.
Definitely.
After all, clearly it's the system's fault. We hightailed it out there rapido, and the melted screwdriver now rests in a ditch next to the A1 as I endeavoured to hide the damning evidence. Do not follow my example. Always follow the rules. All the very best, and I'm so happy that your podcast is back. Bravo, is what Brian is saying. I say it's not Brian, really, because I didn't want...
No,
but interestingly, who are the band who had one hit, who are still touring in the 80s? Very interesting. Anyway, Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, Brian, I think Brian said it for himself. Health and safety is there for a reason, isn't it? I come from a family of electricians, and I just can't imagine what my dad would say about this. And I just can't forgive him, because it's danger. Danger.
High voltage.
High voltage.
High voltage, indeed.
That's what it is,
so
electricians.
No, not forgiven for me.
Not going to be very impressed with this at all. Brother Matthew.
I mean, I'm going to forgive. Here there are a few reasons why. Number one, we all learned a lesson there, didn't we, about health and safety, because you should never do that with your screwdriver into the screws, even if you are sitting on a stool. So we all learned that lesson. The other lesson we all learned is that really the system is at fault, because you can't possibly be expecting bands to just go and not have the big blue plug with them.
Yes.
You can't have that happening during a gig. So obviously from that point on, I'm sure the band decided to invest in a big blue plug. But he's mainly getting forgiven because of a big mention of the podcast. Well done, Brian, for bringing up the podcast. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I wonder if there is a category which is actually confessions where I could have died.
Okay, I mean, tread carefully there.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's going to last very long because I don't think the production might, Susie and Holly would go, I think that this is a good idea. But clearly, I'm just saying it from a health and safety point of view.
Yes.
That his screwdriver became a 2-inch screwdriver from a 12-inch screwdriver.
Danger.
Danger, indeed, because there was high voltage.
High voltage.
Electric Six, check it out.
Yeah.
Very good song.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it makes no sense at all. But no, it's like the Darwin Awards.
Oh, yeah, those. Yeah.
Creative and imaginative ways of leaving this earth.
Yes.
I don't think this is a good sort of direction for us to go.
No, you're the one that brought it up, but anyway.
Not for broadcast, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, a special not for broadcast section in the podcast.
Where you almost died.
Holly's head is in her hands.
No.
parish notice board time. Matt, how are the reviews looking?
Well, as you'd expect, they're all five stars, and these are the pick of the five stars. Yes. First up, five stars from Deb Wobbs. Deb Wobbs says, laugh out loud was invented here. Truly hysterical. A great way to annoy fellow train passengers by tittering and snorting to the amusing tales. Even the summaries of those not for broadcast had me in stitches.
Yes, good.
Rabbit Pie says, five stars. 10 stars. This is my second five-star review, the other being a while ago at the other place. Mm. And the pod continues to be the best around. I'm now joined in the weekly ritual of catching up on the week's events by my son, who particularly enjoys the not-for-broadcast section, Brother Matt's increasingly tenuous reasons for forgiveness, and Sister Holly's gift of hindsight. Thanks.
And sick and wrong.
Sick and wrong. Mm-hmm. And finally, Surprise 164... definitely a bot. Five stars. Only yes. Five stars. It was going to be six, but I heard Matt saying the word amwow time after time after time on an episode a couple of weeks ago and completely undermines his position in the social battle with the Ruperts and art students of this world. Quite right, too.
It is very astute because of all the people you would imagine to have an armoire, yes. You'd imagine it would be Holly, for example.
Yeah, definitely Holly's
like
got
a family
armoire.
But
yeah,
you shouldn't have an armoire.
Here's me with, well, it's because I'm enigmatic, isn't it? On one hand, with my armoire. Wow. And the other fighting the power. So, you
makes
know.
Or a hypocrite?
No, it makes me enigmatic. That's what we've
but
all
but if you've got a beret and a scarf.
Yes.
Then.
Then I'm an art student. No? What?
Yeah.
A beret and an art student.
But then
oh,
you would judge someone.
Yes,
you'd
I
expect
would.
That they
oh,
might
yes.
have an armoire. How
no,
do you
no.
pronounce it?
Amwow.
Amwow.
Amwow. Amwow. It's an hour. That's what, if you were to go into John Lewis, other department stores, whatever, you would say, "Do you have any amwows?" And they'd say, "I'm glad you asked. Third floor, we've got a special on amwows."
No one says it like that.
Yeah, they all say it like that. And remember, if you want to get a shout out on the pod, then leave us a review. But obviously, it will have to be five stars if you want to get on the
yes.
pod.
Also, mention any strange pieces of furniture which you think might be mispronounced
yeah.
on the show. Anyway, we've had an interesting request for some tat, I think, Suze.
Yes, we've had an email from Carito, who says, "Hi, Simon, Matt, Susie, Holly and the team. I want to say thank you for another great podcast episode and to plead for something from your tat cupboard. I've been trying to get my friends to listen to your podcast and have even suggested that they send in a confession as well. Also, I must add, I will send in a confession myself, but regrettably I can't as it is currently happening and I have to confess to the people it involves first.
Ooh.
Kind regards, Carito. P.S. Sending with an alias due to the upcoming confession."
Well, I mean,
intriguing.
Yes, it is intriguing, but we've had that before. We've had people who have sent in confessions, and the people that they need to confess to don't even know about it
but
yet.
But this is a confession. They're normally in the past tense. This feels like it's in the present tense.
Yeah.
So I am currently
doing X.
Is Carito having a romantic entanglement with someone that Carito shouldn't?
Yes, that's what I'm taking it as, yes.
And Carito hasn't said to Mr. or Mrs.
Carito
that's in the past.
Yes, all hot and heavy in the office. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Hot and heavy in the
hot
office.
Hot and heavy in the office, isn't that what they say?
In the
I think
office.
Gen Zedder, back me up on this. Hot and heavy in the office, that's a big thing, isn't it?
That's not a thing.
Yeah, also.
Absolutely.
Hashtag no. Hot and heavy in the office.
Sounds disgusting. Let me just look that one up.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, we look forward, Carito, to the past tense, and I hope everybody is going to survive in that particular. We don't want anyone to suffer in any way. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. So if you have a fantastic reason why you deserve a little bit of tat, I don't know, does Carito get some tat for...
I think he does when he sends in the confession. Or she. Could be a she, yeah.
So are we saying no
so
to
we
the tat?
So we're withholding the tat until the confession?
Quid pro quo.
Holly's in charge of the tat. Does Carito get tat for not actually confessing anything?
I think so, yeah. He put in a nice email, didn't he? And requested something. There'll
You're
be something at the back I can send him. Absolutely.
Okay, but the other thing is, Carito, if when you send in a confession, if it's no good, you're going to have to send the tat back. This is also, this is a conditional gift.
Oh, really? That's how we're doing it.
If we don't like it,
with a self-addressed envelope so that we can...
We can't just send stuff out to anybody,
true.
Can we?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Carito, thanks, but more information, please. So, but if you have got anything that you'd like to tell us, why you need tat, or even if you've got a confession, even if you're in the middle of committing the confession, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. But you never go to a priest, would you, and say, forgive me, Father, for I am sinning.
I am sinning right now.
Quick couple of mentions, by the way, to Andrew Richardson, Ben Murdoch, Max, Leo and Coco, Lady M, Stephen, Elaine... and Catherine, who were among those who tweeted or blue-skied the secret phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, Granny Burgers. Matt will have a new one for you later on at the end of the show. Will that be right?
Yes, it will. Yes, yes,
I think he's already got it.
Yeah,
I think we all know what I'm going to be saying. Oh, yeah.
Now it's time for the not-for-broadcast roll call of shame, Anthony. This confession is particularly immature. Asking the checkout lady in your local supermarket to do an announcement on the tannoy involving made-up names that when read out sounded rude. The poor lady probably had no idea, and it's way too rude for tea time listeners anyway. And we're not going to say what they are.
Because we're above that, are we? Well, I'm not. Yes. But yeah, fair enough.
But we can
probably guess, yeah.
And David, giving your strict Catholic headmaster an end-of-year gift of a cannabis plant was not the best idea, was it? It's also illegal.
Yeah.
Actually, it was just the seeds. But we had a very shocking moment, by the way, back a couple of years ago. The good lady had bought a packet of seeds for the garden, random seeds. You know, you can buy, like, random seeds.
No,
She'd sprinkled some seeds in the garden, and some of them grew up as cannabis.
Okay. Where was she?
Wow.
Where, I don't buy. Where do you get
to buy random seeds? That looks familiar. And then I went on my app, which spots what a plant
was
is.
It was definitely that, though.
It was definitely cannabis. So we picked it up.
Because I've got a plant that looks like it.
No.
But it isn't.
Well, the plant app said it wasn't. Anyway, but it is the time of year when you give a present to a member of staff or a head teacher who's done a lot for you. So in general, don't buy them drugs. That's illegal drugs.
Yeah, I'd
buy them things that are legal. And decent and honest, truthful.
Quite right.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Getting back to those who did make the cut, Pixie's confession, you got more rabbit than Sainsbury's.
Simon Mayo's confessions. Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Today's confession comes from Pixie. Thank you, Pixie. Father Simon and the forgiving followers. Well, we'll see about that. I write to you in an attempt to bare my soul and throw myself at your feet for forgiveness for a sin I committed over 40 years ago. This sin took place when I was a teacher, back in the 80s. These were good times, long before health and safety or mobile phones were invented. Okay. 'Tis now the season for school camps, and this jape took place at a camp. Every year I organised a summer camp for the first year pupils up on the Welsh coast. It was great. We had an action-packed program of fun outdoor pursuits and beach activities. There was something for everyone. It was all down to the staff to do everything, of course, from running the program to cooking. I even drove the bus, taking the 45 pupils to the camp in the first place. There was always a bit of chattering on the first night, emitting from the tents. Staff would patrol, shushing, and eventually silence prevailed and everyone could get some much-needed sleep as we all needed to be fully rested for the programme of activities. One year, some tents just would not stop chattering through the night and were tired and grumpy the following day. It was explained how important good rest was, and so we could have fun in the day. It was declared if there should be a recurrence of the previous night's shenanigans, then those pupils who were caught chattering after lights out would be sent home. That night, sure enough, three tents could not stop chattering, keeping others awake. At the following morning's meeting, the chattering pupils were identified and called out. They were told to go to their tents, pack their bags, in readiness to go home. There was pleading and some tears. Home means home. It must be realised that the packing for the pupils' bags going to camp is never carried out by the pupils themselves. Their parents or guardians do it all, of course. Mm-hmm. So the attempts of pupils now trying to pack their own bags, especially when distressed, did not go well. The homeward-bound pupils were assembled with their ragtag baggages, and then they had to do the walk of shame. They were to be sent home on the train, We walked with heads bowed in silence, apart from the occasional sob. The 3 mile walk to the station, that's 3 miles. It was long, the bags were heavy, and the pupils were a forlorn bunch. In poor clothing for a long walk, they looked a very sorry sight on the platform. We waited and waited for the next train when eventually my colleague and co-conspirator, who we will call Bob, pointed out a notice on the platform. I read it out loud for everyone to hear. Due to industrial action, there'll be no trains today. We apologise for any inconvenience. Yes, it was rail strike day.
Oh.
On that very day, no trains would be running. Begrudgingly, the chatterers were reprieved. The walk back to camp was a little happier, but the bags continued to spill and leak out odd socks and pyjama bottoms along the pavement. Back at camp, the situation was explained to everyone. It was made clear that the trains would be back running the following day, and if anyone was caught chattering after lights out, they would be going home. My confession, however, is this. The pupils hadn't realised that the train strike dates had been published well in advance. And we staff knew exactly what was going on because that's part of being a grown-up, right? And as a teacher, you have to use all the tools in the toolbox. If the pupils were not up to date on industrial relations, then that's their lookout. Watch the news, kids. Didn't John Craven's news round teach you anything? And did you not notice how well prepared the adults were? Footwear, hats, and energy bars? No, of course I won't share, Molesworth. You shouldn't have been talking so much. Anyway, that night, you'll be relieved to hear, Father Simon, you could hear a pin drop. Everyone slept well and we all had a fantastic time at camp. Also, word got around that when I said lights out, it meant you go to sleep. Has worked well for several future camps. However, I do wish to apologise not to the pupils or even to the railways for using their non-operation to dupe the pupils, but to the bemused people walking to the station wondering where this random trail of clothing had come from. Pants and shirts and sweatshirts all scattered around this part of Wales. Very strange, says Pixie. Well, now everybody knows precisely what has happened and why it has happened. Sister Susie speaks first, I think. Voice of responsibility.
Well, Pixie, I don't know how I feel about this one because I hear what you're saying. You know, you sometimes have to have, you know, things in your armour as a teacher, but I feel like it was a bit harsh. A 3 mile walk. Why couldn't you drop them off at the station? Why did they have to walk the whole time?
Walk of shame.
Discipline. It's just not very nice. And, you know, if they weren't dressed very well, we could have helped them pack. I don't know. I was a chattery teenager, so I probably would have been one of these people in this walk. So for that reason, I don't think I can forgive you because I would have been very upset.
Brother Matthew.
I am going to find this very easy to forgive. Because it's the perfect punishment, isn't it, for these chattering and keeping everyone else awake the night before. And they were told to shut up. And then, I tell you, man, make them walk. Make them walk all the way. And make them walk all the way home. That's what I'd have done. But anyway, but walk all the way to the... And they knew there were not going to be any trains, so it was fine. And they lost all the pyjamas. Well, should have packed better. So you should have learned two lessons there. One, shut up. And two, pack better. So everyone learned a lesson in the end.
6 miles, and I just said 6 miles is a long walk.
It is
if
a
you're
long
a
walk.
Child.
It is long, but they learned that lesson and it very much got drummed into them. I'd have done worse. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Also, listen to the news. Listen to John Craven's news round. He's still going, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. John Craven's still going, Yep.
That's the answer. Don't get caught out, kids. That's the message. Mm-hmm. Okay, still to come on the Confessions podcast, your favourite podcast, 5 stars. Thank you. There's a drunken mistake with terrible consequences in the Confession from the Crypt. And we join Steve on a cruise for his confession involving Guns N' Roses and Cole Porter together for the first time. Mm. But not before Davey's confession. You had one job.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Thank you, Davey Dave. Father Simon, Brother Matthew and Sister Holly, Susie Katie of the British Board of Forgiveness Classification. My confession takes place in the mid to late 80s when I was working as a cinema projectionist.
Oh,
nice.
Not many of those left. The cinema was part of what used to be a well-known cinema chain. There were two projection booths, and I was responsible for showing films from the one on the ground floor. New feature films would arrive each week in a container containing 6 real cans. As in real, as in reels, as
yes,
in yes.
Real cans, yeah.
As opposed to a real can.
No, no.
Quite part of my duties were to check the quality of the film and splice each part onto a much larger spool. Care and attention was needed with this process to prevent the film from being shown upside down, for example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now and then, I would have to do the late Saturday show, and in this particular week, it was Monty Python's Meaning of Life.
Ah.
The film arrived as normal in a case of six film cans. As I was spooling the six parts together, I couldn't help noticing the poor condition it was in. There were small rips throughout the whole film. I repaired as many as I could with tape. As films were sent from one cinema to another, a film's condition can eventually deteriorate. The Monty Python film had been screened up and down the country, so it was little surprise it was in such a dire state. Saturday at 10:30 in the evening arrived, and screen one began to fill with a rowdy group of people, some with cans of beer secretly stashed inside their clothes. I couldn't help feeling sorry for the young manager, who we'll call Bob. He was already evicting customers who were causing a disturbance. Quite right, too. Let's hear it for Bob. I powered up the projector and the film began. The crowd settled down, except for a few who thought it was amusing to throw empty beer cans at the screen. Chuck them out. Just saying.
Okay.
I hadn't seen the film, so I thought it would be a great idea to slip into the back of the auditorium and sit in an empty seat. I pressed the auto button on the control panel. This was a fail-safe button. If there was a problem with the projector, the control panel will automatically shut down the show, close the curtains in the auditorium, and bring up the house lights. I found a seat at the back, swept all the unwanted popcorn off, and sat and watched the film. It seemed very popular with the crowd. A later scene featuring Michael Palin, dressed as a lady presenter, was addressing the audience and saying, "It's the end of the film, but to finish, there will be some naughty pictures of a certain body part that should annoy the censors," or words to that effect.
Yeah.
Suddenly, the screen went blank. The curtains closed, the house lights came up. The audience laughed hysterically, obviously thinking, as I did, the scene had been censored. Yeah. And the film ended like that, and that's how it was meant to finish. An ending in keeping with the film's humour, so I thought. "What a genius way to end," said someone in the audience. "That's hilarious," said someone else. I left the auditorium to find Bob the manager standing in the corridor. His face was white as a sheet. He asked where I'd been. He said an alarm had gone off in his office and up in the projection booth. This meant the fail-safe button had been activated. I ran up to the booth and sure enough, the film had snapped. The entire last reel to the film was still in the top spool and had not been shown. So the 30 or so cinema goers never saw the final part of the film. They have probably been telling friends and family about the film for years, and how funny it is that it finishes abruptly, only to watch it on video or DVD in later years and realize what they thought was the ending was not actually the ending at all. Suddenly there were new scenes. They missed the live organ donor scene, the galaxy song, the Grim Reaper.
Wow.
Attractive if forgetful women running around the cliffs of Dover.
Oh yes.
And a Las Vegas style hotel where it's always Christmas. Also, Mr. Creosote, with Terry Jones keeping ordering food until he explodes.
Goodness.
Where did this stuff all come from, they must have thought. Well, I'd like to pretend it was the director's cut, but actually, it was just the film ending like it should have done. I would like to ask forgiveness from Bob the manager, who must have thought for a moment that he might have a drunken riot on his hands, only to be relieved to find that everyone walked out of the cinema entertained, if a bit drunk. They thought that the film ended in a strange way. And it did, but not like that, because they missed out on Mr. Creosote, which is, of course, one of the most famous Monty Python scenes of all time, and they missed all of it. Sister Susie will speak for people in a position of authority.
Well, Davey Dave, I don't think I can forgive you, because maybe, you know, you knew the condition of the reel, and it wasn't the best, and there were some rips, and maybe that was the time where you should have stayed and paid attention rather than go and sit in the audience. You're not paid to watch the film.
No, he's put himself and his enjoyment first.
Yeah, selfish. I'm not forgiving,
selfish,
I'm afraid.
Dave. Brother Matthew.
I mean, I'd be inclined not to forgive, because obviously those, as you said, those are lots of the best bits of that movie that they've missed out on. However, the film was going to come apart anyway, whether he was sat in the back of the auditorium or sat in the room where the film was being shown.
But so he could have done something about it.
But then it would have ruined the humour, wouldn't it? The whole humour of the movie would have been ruined by him having to get his sellotape out and fix the film. And actually, wasn't this more in keeping with the Monty Python sort of style of humour?
No.
to end it with your man. And so for that reason, I think I'm going to forgive.
Struggling.
And I think the rest of Monty Python would agree with me also.
Mm. I really don't think so.
I think they would.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Father Simon and the Forgiving Fraternity, here is the cast that you need to know for this confession. Steve, and Steve's the one who's written the email.
Okay.
Steve has cerebral palsy, lives independently, supported by carers. Bill, Steve's friend, carer and neighbour. Also Mick, long-term friend and carer.
Okay.
So they're the crew. Off on a Mediterranean cruise in 2013, writes Steve, with my good friends and carers, Mick and Bill. The cruise was an adults-only cruise, and we quickly discovered that we were, on average, the youngest passengers on board, being in our 30s and 50s, the other crowd being considerably older and posher. We soon became used to this age difference in the environment, and we soon fitted in so as to enjoy our 17-night cruise with the high society. Our confession concerns a black tie evening roughly midway through the cruise. They do include a photograph, which I would hold up if I had it here.
Okay.
After dinner, we chose on this occasion to relax, having had a number of more active nights, and so we were glad to find in the ballroom a sedate after-dinner dance. Couples of an older age enjoying gently dancing to what I think is referred to as tea dance music. The dance music of the 20s and 30s.
Of course.
Being after dinner, some might call it a soiree. Knowing Bill, one of my carers often whistled the tune to Cole Porter's Anything Goes, I thought this song might be fitting. It dates from 1934, a bit earlier than most of your music, Father Simon, but concerns the antics on an ocean liner from New York to London, so is super appropriate. Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra have recorded it, but we wanted the Cole Porter original. So here's the kind of vibe, really. This is what we wanted. We thought this would fit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Heaven knows. Yeah. Anything goes. There you go. That's the kind of groove that we're after. Anyway, I asked Mark if he would go down to the floor and request it. When I say Mark, I meant Mick.
That lasted long. Well done, Mick. Find and replace. Oh, dear.
Bill and I stayed at our table, slightly elevated from the dance floor. We could see Mick talking to the DJ for quite some time, but couldn't hear their conversation, obviously, because of the music. However, he eventually returned, saying that the DJ thought he'd found Anything Goes, and it would be the next song. A few minutes later, the soiree-style music faded. A brief pause in dancing followed as Bill and Mick and I awaited the Cole Porter classic. So what followed was very different. Hang on.
What?
What is going on?
Oh.
Wow.
Guns N' Roses.
Heavy metal style guitarist boomed out of the speakers. The atmosphere was transformed in an instant. We were as puzzled as the couples on the dance floor. Bafflement filled the room as pulsing electric guitars, followed by a singer who sounded the polar opposite of Cole Porter, filled the room. We assumed there must have been some mistake by the DJ and only became more perplexed as this music continued. To describe it as raunchy is an understatement. And I wouldn't want to repeat any of the lines, Father Simon, but "Well, I got something for you" is about the tamest line in the song.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the chorus that I understood what was happening. So the chorus goes, "My way, your way, anything goes tonight," repeatedly played. I recognised the voice, of course, though I didn't at the time know that Guns N' Roses did a song called Anything Goes. The couples were totally bemused as Guns N' Roses continued. Everyone was looking at each other, not quite sure what to do. Lord and Lady Bufton Tufton were aghast. Lucien de Pafel Ambrose and his wife, Lady Alexandra Clemmy Ambrose, stopped moving altogether. Once we saw the DJ's mistake, the comedy element dawned on us to the point where we ended up in hysterics. The couples looked up at us, laughing hysterically, and promptly left the dance floor. Bill actually fell off his chair. He was laughing so much. Not only did the couples leave the dance floor, but they left the room, looking at us in disgust. It looked as if we'd deliberately sabotaged the couple's sedate evening. However, my intention was clearly heartfelt and good. I had fully expected the DJ to pull the record immediately. What's wrong with this numpty DJ? A question that would have been asked around these parts many years. But he didn't, and we ruined the evening for our fellow cruise types, and it's possible that the Ambroses and Buffton Tuftons of this world never cruised again. So I personally seek forgiveness for unintentionally ruining everyone's classy after-dinner experience, says Steve, not his real name, as you might have guessed. So you can imagine that you want one. I mean, there's a particular groove with Cole Porter at Anything Goes, which is the polar opposite of Anything Goes by Guns N' Roses. And I have checked the lyrics of that song, and it is about the filthiest Guns N' Roses song in their catalogue. So no wonder everyone took offence. But anyway, Sister Susie is going first here.
Well, Steve, I just, I don't know how I feel about this. I quite like the idea of a cruise, and, you know, that's quite nice. And you know, you were in keeping in the tone of the dance floor with the song, the Cole Porter song, and I think that would have fitted quite nicely. Yeah. And I guess for me, maybe the issue is with the DJ and how he actually even had that Guns N' Roses song in the first place.
Typical producer.
Blame the DJ.
The DJ. So are you forgiving or not?
Do you know what? I am going to forgive him because there was no harm done apart from a little bit of offence, and, you know, maybe they enjoyed it having something different. So I am going to forgive Steve on this occasion.
I would like to know what Lady Alexandra Clemmy Ambrose made of Guns N' Roses. Brother Matthew.
Well, I'm also going to blame the DJ. The pre-fade button is there for a reason, DJ. You should have listened to it before you played it, obviously. Don't just play whatever. If I'd got up there and asked for Thunderstruck, you're not going to play it during the tea dance, are you? You should have listened to it before you played it. So, yes, definitely forgive me. And also, you know, the Defeffels and the Ambrose Watsons and all the rest of them, they'd have loved to have having their horizons broadened.
Yes.
And we're better to have your horizons broadened than on a cruise ship where the horizon literally goes on very, very broad indeed.
Wow.
So for that reason, I'm going to forgive. Yeah.
Why is it always the DJ's fault? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
But I think that's completely unfair. That's prejudice. That's
prejudice against the DJs.
It's illegal.
Yes.
I'm sure there's
a lot of flack, don't they, for the, like, especially when you go to events. And
for being stupid.
Well, yeah, or basically they say, well, the party was a bit flat, probably the DJ. It's always the DJ's fault, isn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's very offensive. Mm. Thank you very much for the confession, by the way. And send us yours, confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Time for us to take a journey into the past. Another confession from the crypt. Chris has got in touch to say, this is Chris in Shrewsbury. Simon, Matt, Susie and the team, I would love to hear a confession again. It's only from last year, so not sure if it qualifies for a confession from the crypt. It could just be like it's a fresh body in the crypt. That's what it is.
Let's probably not think about it in those terms.
Wow.
Shall we?
It's worth a replay. It involved a very drunken man in a pub, a landlady not wanting to lose her license, and a trip on a ferry in the wrong direction. Please replay it. Chris in Shrewsbury will do just that.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Simon, Matt, Susie and team, my confession goes back to the late 80s when I ran a bar in the Isle of Man. We had a football team who played most Sundays in a local league and were pretty successful, considering the amount of beer they'd consumed the night before. I was always in awe of their ability to finish a game, never mind actually win it. We traditionally used to go away at Easter for a feast of football, which included playing at least one game and then going to watch one of the team members' favourite clubs, which included Blackburn, York, Rochdale, Crewe, Everton, Halifax, and even Frank Sidebottom's famous Timperley Big Shorts. So, a whole bunch of fine teams to choose from. I was a bit older than the lads, and being a responsible licensee, I had the job of driving the minibus, which was actually quite a relief, as it meant I didn't have to join in with the ridiculous drinking games or keep up the rounds of drinks, which used to start first thing in the morning as we waited to board the ferry.
It's always
never a good idea.
Always not on that ferry.
Yeah, me too.
It was after a successful trip away that we were heading back home to the island. catching the ferry from Liverpool and carrying on the Manx tradition of having the last pint in the Pig and Whistle, the closest pub to the boat. When the landlady came over to ask us if we were going to the Isle of Man, I said yes. She then pointed to the corner of the bar where we saw a chap who we knew, let's call him Stuart, slumped drunkenly over his luggage, fast asleep. She said, "Could you do me a favour, please, lads? I haven't served him anything, but he came in like that, and I'd lose my licence if anyone saw him in that state on my premises. Please, could you take him with you?" Well, says Max, being a publican myself, I sympathised with her predicament. Susie will understand.
Susie will understand.
Yeah, I'll just check.
Okay.
So we reluctantly agreed to take him with us, having to virtually carry him and his luggage to the ferry terminal. Okay. Nowadays, I don't think he would have been allowed to travel in that state, but they were different times, so we blagged him through on our group ticket and made our way onto the ship, finding him a quiet corner of the lounge and leaving him to sleep for the rest of his journey home. Anyway, fast forward a couple of weeks, and I saw Stuart walking in the street, and he came over and he said, "Max, I believe you helped me to get on the ferry the other day." I said, "Yes, well, you weren't capable of doing it yourself, so we thought we'd help." "Well," Max says, "that's very kind. You probably thought you were doing the right thing, but I'd actually just got off the ferry." After a boozy crossing with my relatives, and I was due to go to a funeral the next day. But thanks to you, I had to dash down to the airport, where I got fleeced for an exorbitant last-minute airfare.
Oh, dear.
See, there are consequences.
There are,
aren't there? Always consequences. So I'm not sure who I'm asking for forgiveness from, as Stuart got to his funeral. I mean, he had less money, and he got there in time, but maybe it's the poor crew of the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company who had to clean up after Stuart.
Oh, really?
Who probably deserve our sympathy.
Oh.
So thank you in advance for your patience and understanding. I mean, like I said, there are consequences.
There are.
For the staff of the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company, consequences for the people who wanted to go to the funeral, and consequences if you just have a few too many ales. Let's just check in with publican Sister Susie, the voice of responsibility.
Well, there's quite a few things here. I'm quite worried that he got that to that state in the first place, and how he was just left there by the landlady or landlord. But, you know, I've been there when people are maybe a bit worse for wear than you think they are, and then you're like, "Oh, God, what am I going to do now? How am I going to get rid of them?" And, you know, you did them a favour. You put him on the ferry. I'm not sure the ferry was the best place, as I'm sure all the staff on the ferry will agree. However, just because you got him out of the pub and it wasn't the wasn't the responsibility of the landlord anymore, I'm going to forgive you.
Because I think the landlady did, she did the right thing, because she didn't want to serve him anymore. In fact, she hadn't served him at all. So he just arrived like that. So she was probably doing the right thing. And then they were doing the right thing. So everyone had been doing the right thing.
They were trying to do the right thing. Yeah.
Apart from Stuart, brother from another guy.
Well, was the landlady doing the right thing? I'm going to argue that the person who bears all the responsibility in this particular confession is the landlady. She's the one going up and saying, "Can you put this guy on the ferry?" Even though, who was telling her to put him on the ferry?
He's
got some luggage.
Responsible.
Get him out of my pub.
When she didn't.
Get him on the ferry. I've no idea whether he needs to get on the ferry, but get him on the ferry. So it's actually the landlady's fault when we all think about it. Also, I've never understood this mixture of booze and choppy waters. That seems like a recipe from hell. So for that reason, or all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
I don't think you're going to get away with that, because I think the one blameless person here is the landlady.
Definitely not the landlady.
Because she just wanted him off.
Get him out of my pub. It's on a boat.
In fact, it's Stuart. It's Stuart's
fault. You can put
him
on the ferry or not. Just get him out the door.
Get him out of my pub.
It's all Stuart's fault.
Get out of my pub.
Anyway.
Get out of my pub.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
So that was Max's confession, which we called Closing Time at the End, where Matt uttered a sentence very, very unwisely. "I think it's the landlady's fault."
Yes, yeah, I did. I decided to go down that road because I am fearless in my judgments.
Or you're just stupid.
Yes. Well, one of
wrong.
The two. Yeah. No, all
and
three.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Sick and wrong.
But also fearless and right. At the same time.
Is anyone else allowed to say sick and wrong?
Not really.
Okay, no. Well, no. Oh, dear. Right.
Just keep it as a special treat.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have a request for a confession that you'd like to hear again from back in the day, but obviously not back in that day, but, you know, back in the appropriate days.
Yes.
And even if you have a confession that's fresh and ongoing, maybe, who knows, confess it, or just not too decomposed.
No.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Kafkaesque.
It was very Kafkaesque.
Yeah, now, exactly. It's over to Brother Matt for this week's top secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is hot and heavy in the office.
Anyway, if you've listened this far, you can now tweet me at Simon May, or you can thread me at Mr. Simon May, or you can blue sky me at Simon May.
Yeah, I love
where
blue
all
sky.
The cool people
they
are.
They are very cool.
Finally, don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Send us 100 stars. Keep telling everyone about the return of the Simon Mayo Confessions podcast. Until next time, from the saloon bar, Sister Susie.
Get out of my pub.
There you go. Classic.
Classic.
From the gutter, Brother Matt.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much. Oh, and Holly, thank you so much for running the tack cupboard with such style and distinction.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Great ad lib reaction, everyone. Mm-hmm. 10 out of 10.
Right, I'll pick it up. No one will notice. No. The joint.